Father, we thank you again for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We receive this light and this understanding this morning and let your name be glorified. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone that will be joining us today, those that are already here, and those that will be coming in later on. We pray that there will be a quickening in our spirits, a quickening in our hearts, that we will be able to engage the Lord in the Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you. We give you all the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, let's see. Let's talk about this. Preparing our hearts to seek the Lord and His commandments. That's really the full title. There wasn't enough space to put it like that, you know, but we want to just consider as part of the, you know, the lessons we've been doing the last few days, how do we bring ourselves into a place of obedience, perfect obedience, that is. In other words, the Lord says, and we do. And we do it completely, like he said. You know, we don't do 95% or even 99% of it. We do all that the Lord says. Well, let's see scriptures that admonish us to prepare our hearts, you know, to seek the Lord and to seek his commandments. That is a necessary first step. Even in knowing and understanding his commandments, you know, we got to prepare our hearts. Do you want to do that? The sin nature naturally does not want anything to do with the Lord. By nature that we inherited, our hearts are rebellious, you know, before the Lord. That's the nature of the heart. And this heart, one scripture says the tongue is deadly and no one can tame it. Well, I'm going to tell you that this heart also is, you know, deadly and very difficult to tame. Here's one scripture that says the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's almost like the tongue. And remember, you know, what comes out of the tongue, well, is prepared in the heart. The Bible said, Jesus said that himself. You know, when they were saying, well, you know, your disciples eat with unwashing hands and they don't keep our traditions and so forth. And Jesus said, well, it is not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of their mouth. That's the one that defiles a man, because, you know, out of the abundance of the man's heart, you know, the man will speak. There are a few places in the Bible where Jesus, you know, talks about that. Let's read one or two of those places. In the book of Matthew, and this was captured in the Gospels, a couple of places. Let's read Matthew chapter, 15. You know, he says, it's not that which goes in the mouth, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles the heart, you know. But where, that's the first thing, but where does the, what comes out of the mouth, where does it come from? That's what I want to, the question I want to ask. You know, stuff that comes out of our mouth, where exactly does it come from? Well, if we read the scriptures carefully, We will see also in Matthew 12 and 34, also in Luke 6 and 45, Jesus was talking about these things, you know, where the stuff that comes out of the mouth, where does it come from? It comes from the heart. You know, Jesus said, you know, all these things come from the heart. You know, out of the heart proceeded all kinds of things. O generation of vipers, he said, how can ye being evil speak good things? Evil is in the heart. Good, you know, that the Lord also brings, you know, into when he converts our spirit and the spirit begins to walk in us, that good is in the heart. It starts there. But the evil is also in the heart. I mean, how can you of evil heart speak good things? Jesus asked. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart will bring forth evil things. Now, I'm trying to establish, you know, the posture of the heart, you know, that it is relevant to many things. The heart is where it all starts. Well, Jeremiah said that heart is wicked, you know, is deceitful and desperately wicked. Well, that's the unregenerated heart. That's how it is. But with us, who are born again by the Spirit of God, our hearts must not be like that. But, you know, again, you cannot just assume, you know, that your heart is going to follow the right thing. You have to be intentional, right? In, as the scripture says in Proverbs 4 and 23, guide your heart with all diligence. I mean, you cannot just, assume that the heart will do the right thing, because by nature it's deceitful and wicked. But so you have to guide that heart, you know, with all diligence. You know, so we have to be intentional, working on guiding that heart. Guard that heart towards the things of God. Don't let that heart stray away. You know, so the thing we want to talk about today is directing our hearts into seeking the law of the Lord and seeking after the Lord. We got to do it. We got to be intentional in doing it. You know, so we have established that, you know, many things, you know, come from the heart, you know, and we've got to train the heart to do the right thing. It won't do the right thing normally. There'll be many, it will want to go in all kinds of directions. But you've got to prepare. How do we prepare our hearts? That's what we want to talk about today. Prepare our heart. What does it mean to prepare our heart? I mean, what does it mean to prepare something or make preparation? You know, if you want to prepare a meal, what do? I mean, you know, sometimes we give a lot of thought to it. You know, very rarely that somebody will just throw things together. Now, maybe we may after we've perfected the practice of it. But, you know, mostly it takes preparation. And preparation means for someone or something to make ready for either a purpose or event or something that you're going to do in advance. So it usually involves you arranging, putting together things. You know, for instance, you can prepare a meal, prepare a report. prepare yourself for a task. I mean, when people want to go on a journey, you prepare for it. You start to think about it. You start to think about the things you need for that journey. Yeah. When we were talking about enablers and blockers, we talked about enablers for your journey. If you're going overseas, you need a passport. Sometimes you need a visa too, depending on where you're going. And so you got to prepare for this, for that trip. If you don't prepare, you need a ticket too, of course. You know, some people buy tickets for a trip months in advance because they are preparing and they're thinking about it. Well, if you consider that, you know, that in order to attain a state of readiness, preparation must precede that. You know, that's what I'm trying to bring out here today. Preparation must precede the attaining of a state of readiness for anything. You got to prepare. You're not just going to be, you know, casually ready. In the same way, you know, a state where the heart is now aligned into perfect obedience is not going to happen just by itself. It's going to be preparation. It's going to be work, you know, that needs to be done to bring that heart into alignment. Seeing that the heart has a natural tendency to go in the opposite direction, you know, even in the waiting for the coming of the Lord, you know, the scripture says that as we wait for the Lord, we must direct our hearts, you know, direct our hearts, it's even a prayer, into the patient waiting for Christ. Everything that we do, you know, that starts from the heart needs preparation. And even the, you know, when we know how to control, in order for us to know how to control our words, it means also we have to prepare our hearts, because the words come from the heart. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue. See, when you know how to do that, your tongue might be able to answer the right things. But if you don't, you know, we just speak anyhow most times. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord, it's a prayer. Paul was praying for these people. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. Now this prayer is asking, you know, for God to help us guide our hearts toward Him. That's a good prayer. You know, so today we're going to also pray that the Lord will help us, I mean, direct our hearts into preparing our minds for seek the Lord and to do His will. Now, many commandments were given to the children of Israel from the beginning on how to direct their hearts, how to seek the Lord. You know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. I mean, don't let any other thing fill up your heart other than, you know, be consumed with pleasing the Lord. That's what all those commandments mean. But if we don't pay attention, the heart will drift away from the Lord. Now, since this is a follow-up on the, I mean, to the lessons of obtaining God's promises through perfect obedience, the perspective on this is about preparing our hearts to a place of obedience. You have to prepare your heart to do that. Now, let's read a few scriptures, you know, that talk about that and see a few examples of how people actually were intentional in doing these things and the commandments that we were also giving. Because we need to understand that, you know, the place and the role that the heart plays in these things, about learning the Word of God and doing the Word of God and so forth. Now, in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19, David commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God?" I mean, this is verse 17 now, but I'm going to verse 19. "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people." Now, here's his commandment now. "Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." That's right. You know, so it's an intentional, thing that we must do. It's a commandment to do it too. Set your heart. David commanded Solomon, his son, and all the people, "Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord, you know, and your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord. Bring the ark of the covenant and the holy vessels into the house," and so forth. Yeah, we got to be intentional in doing this. Psalm 119, David himself, you know, practiced what he taught or commanded. In Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, he talks about, you know, the posture, you know, of his heart in, you know, seeking the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 11, verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander away from thy commandments." This is an intentional practice to figure out what it is that the Lord is saying. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." That's where it is. The heart, you might think of the heart as the factory of all these things. That's where it all begins. You know, that's why I said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, in thy heart. Don't give place for anything else." You know, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Praise the Lord. Now, you know, how do we ensure that we are in obedience to the Word of God? Well, first of all, you got to know what God says. Otherwise, how would you know to keep the commandment that you don't know anything about? You know, so we've got to not only seek the Lord, we must also seek his ways. That's right. And also seek to know what he has commanded. They used to call it the law of the Lord in the Old Testament. Yeah. Well, to us, it's the entire spectrum of the Word of God. Seek the Lord. Seek to know him also. You know, that's the whole duty of man, to seek to know the Lord and seek to know his ways. That would have been natural for us, you know, had the fall not had happened. You know, the nature, you know, there would have been a drive in our hearts to just do that which is right. Disobedience broke all of that. So we've been talking about obedience. Adam's disobedience broke all of that. So now we got to work our way there. You know, the sinful heart is no longer naturally obedient to the Lord. In fact, you know, he says the flesh cannot be subject to the law of the Spirit, neither indeed can be. Can't do it. You know, but we've got to bring that heart into a place of obedience. And it's intentional. You're not going to be able to obey the Lord. As he said, "Obey my voice, obey my voice." We've been talking about that. You're not going to be able to obey the Lord unless you first train your heart. You gotta train your heart. And train your heart to, you know, number one, know the Lord, know his voice, know what he says. Now prepare your heart. Be determined to do it. It might take some extra effort on your part. If you're a student and you have some exams to take, well, you've got to make preparation. You have to make some extra effort to prepare for those exams. I mean, most things that we do in life require some kind of preparation. But we forget to apply the same to our walking with God. When you wake up in the morning and you have a job that you got to go to, most people that have a job, there's some preparation that you must do. And people do this every day without even thinking about it. You got to get up. You got to do whatever you do to get yourself going in the morning. And then, you got to get ready for work. You know, even while we are on this platform, some people are getting ready for work right now. I mean, so, you know, you got to get ready for work. This is something we do every day. And if you have an appointment, you got to get ready for it. Whether it's an appointment in business, appointment with your medical care team, appointment for this or that, we got to get ready. Make preparation. Hallelujah. So, in the same way, we need to make preparation. This is a beautiful scripture that I'm about to read. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. I found this scripture many years ago when I was in high school. And I kept this scripture in my heart. Might have been a friend that shared it or whatever. I don't remember exactly how. But once I figured out this scripture, I kept it close to my heart. Ezra 7:10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." I mean, this was a principle that the Lord helped me to, you know, be guided by. If you're going to be a teacher of the word, which the Lord called me into the teaching ministry years and years ago, it was necessary for me to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's number one. And then number two, you got to do it yourself before you even have to start to teach it. So the principle is here. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord. And then to do it yourself. And then to teach the same in Israel. Yeah, so to teach the same all around you. I mean, Jesus himself demonstrated the same way. You know, the writings of Luke, you know, captured some of these things of how Jesus began both to do and to teach. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to his apostles, which you had chosen." So, the same pattern, to do and to teach. But before you can do, you have to seek to know. You know, and before you, I mean, as part of seeking to know is to prepare our hearts, prepare the posture of your heart. You know, some people actually do that. They set apart a time. They say, well, I'm going to have a daily devotion. It's an intentional preparation of the heart. I'm going to spend this time in prayer, this time to read the word of God or think about it, and so on. You know, there's hardly anything that we are going to do in life that will bring any results, any positive results, that doesn't require preparation. You know, we got to prepare. Even prepare, scripture says, prepare to meet thy God, O Zion. You know, we must prepare everything. Today I'm particularly focusing on, preparing our hearts. We got to prepare everything we do. In Amos chapter 4 verse 12, he says, prepare to meet thy God. Well, I mean, there are many ways you can interpret, that admonition or that warning, but we can take it as an admonition daily. Prepare your heart daily to meet the Lord, to experience Him every day. Well, the way we know the Lord is through the Spirit of God and His Word. We got to prepare our heart for the knowing the things of God. Now, there are distractions, a lot of distractions that we may have to fend off when you are trying to prepare your heart in seeking the Lord. There's a lot of distractions. Distractions come, even the thoughts that come into our mind, you might think of that as coming into the heart as well. Because Jesus said these things come out of the hearts. He even went as far as saying that even fornications, adulteries, murders, and all these things, start with the heart. And some devising of evil starts in the heart. At the same time, on the other hand, let the keeping of God's commandments, let it start from us preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. And you have a choice all the time. If you want, consider the story of Martha and Mary when Jesus visited them. Mary prepared her heart to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha prepared her heart to serve the people. Both of these were good, but one was better. One was needful, Jesus said. So while Martha was running around serving the people or making, something to serve the people with, Mary decided to sit at the feet of Jesus and ask him questions. Hey, that parable you said the other day, tell me some more about it, and so on. Yeah, she might have gotten some insight which nobody else got on some things. In the meantime, Martha got overwhelmed with all the stuff that she was doing and saw that her sister was just sitting down and said, comes to Jesus. Rather than speak to her sister, hey, come and help me, she goes to the master and say, hey, bid my sister to come and help me. Because why am I the only one serving and running around and so forth, and she's just sitting down? And Jesus said, no, she's not just sitting down. There are many things in life, which we engage into. And say, you, Martha, you encumbered with so many things, but your sister has chosen the one needful thing. All these other things are good, but this is the one that's really needful. That part shall not be taken from her. And it was because she prepared, Mary did prepare her heart to hear the word of the Lord and sit at his feet and say, hey, tell me some more about that. So it's a conscious effort that we have to do. The scripture calls it as returning to the Lord. In many scriptures, it's like, because, most of the time the hearts are far away from the Lord, and we are admonished to return to the Lord in your heart. It starts with the heart. Return to the Lord. In the book of Job, we read in Job chapter 22, acquaint, verse 21, now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in your heart. You know, that heart thing is so important when it comes with, when it comes to walking with God. Starts in the heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Now put away iniquity far from your tabernacles. But it starts with the heart. Lay those words in your heart. But be intentional in finding out his words. You know, there was a time when the word of the Lord was scarce. Called the dark ages even. But there are some people that sought the word of the Lord. You know, Jeremiah said, you know, the word of the Lord was like a rejoicing of my heart. You know, whenever he found the word of the Lord, it was a rejoicing of his heart. Wow. What does that mean? Well, finding the word of the Lord, does it mean the word of the Lord was lost? No. But it means that, you know, we got to make an effort to find it, especially the hidden manna that's different from the showbread. You know, the hidden manna was like something that was tucked away somewhere and not everybody could get to it. But even the showbread that everybody could get to, well, it still, there was a demarcation. It wasn't even really everybody that could get to that. You know, so we see that there is a, you know, there's got to be a level of effort to get to things, you know, of the Lord. Jeremiah 15 and 16 say, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Well, that was what he said. Every time he found the word of the Lord, you know, it was like it brought him joy, but he had to make an effort, you know, in looking to find that word. And the psalmist said the same thing, you know. I rejoiced at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. It was like he found a treasure, you know. Psalm 119 verse 162. It brought him great joy. But sometimes you really have to dig for that word, but it starts with preparing your heart to do it. A few weeks ago, we did a topic on buy the truth and sell it not. You know, and Jesus also said, look, he that hath no sword, well, let him sell his garments and buy one. I mean, in other words, what is the price that you are going to pay to get the word of God? Huh? What price will you pay for it? Are you willing? I mean, what are you willing to do in order to get, you know, that word? And if you, when you get that word, what are you willing to do in order to keep it? And these are the things that we talked about in that other lesson. You might want to check it out, you know. But today, think about how we must set our hearts in order to seek the Lord. The people, you know, that God blessed in the scriptures, some of them, we saw their stories. They were because they prepared prepared. Some of them prepared their heart to seek the Lord. You know, when they prepare their heart like that to seek the Lord, you know, and God gave some blessings. Yesterday we read about Jotham in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 6. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. I mean, there was a blessing from he preparing. Preparation takes time. It's not just, you know, you don't just do it necessarily in 1 minute. It takes time to prepare. Prepare for a trip, you know, prepare a feast, prepare for a wedding, prepare for this and that. I mean, these things, you know, take time. And when we set our hearts, you know, to seek the Lord, then the Lord will give a blessing. We must prepare our hearts, though. That's where it starts. And the distractions that are around us daily, you got to recognize those, to drive them away. In the book of Genesis 15, after God appeared to Abraham and told him what to do, you know, put together a little sacrifice. And as he was doing it, we're told that he prepared the sacrifice, got the, you know, dove and whatever, and laid it. And the birds came down on it, but it drove them away. You know, so sometimes, you know, we have to do that. You know, we have to be prepared to drive away any distractions or anything that will try to contend for our heart, you know, and our soul. Now, there was a story about the, you know, this King Asa when he started out. You know, there were some good things that he, how he prepared his heart, you know, and his heart was, we're told that his heart was perfect before the Lord all his days. This was when he started. And that will bring me to another lesson in a bit. Second Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 17 says, you know, Asa had a perfect heart before the Lord. Well, at first, you know, but we see that there were some other things that crept in into the life of Asa later on. And it brought, there was pride, there were this and that. And there were some things that he allowed himself to be distracted from the course. But he started with, you know, directing his heart toward the Lord. And his heart was perfect. And because his heart was perfect before the Lord, you know, there were a lot of blessings, you know, that they actually, he actually got from the Lord, you know. His story was one in which, because they sought the Lord gave them a blessing. You know, there was a prophet, you know, that spoke in the days of Asa and said with it to him in, and the rest of the people of Judah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. Now, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without the law, you know. But when they were in trouble, they did turn to the Lord their God, and they sought him, and he was found of them. Now, in those times, he said, there was no peace to him that went out or him that came in, but there was great vexations upon the people because they were not seeking after the Lord, you know. Now, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of this prophet, well, he took courage, put away the abominable idols in the land, and did all these things. And, you know, gathered all the people, strangers and everything, and everybody that came to him, gathered them, and they made preparation to seek the Lord. They even did a covenant. He said they entered, in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 15, they entered the covenant to seek the Lord, you know, of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, whosoever would not seek the Lord the Lord God of Israel would be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And I mean, there was such a stirring in their hearts at that time. You know, and all the people swear to the Lord with a loud voice and joy, shouting with trumpets and comets, and all Judah rejoiced at this covenant and this oath. For they had all sworn with all their heart to seek the Lord, and they sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest all around them. Powerful stuff. When people seek the Lord like that, you know, they sought the Lord and the Lord was found of them, and he blessed them and he gave them peace all around. But they determined, they even made an oath. I mean, this was no small business back in the day, especially when a king, you know, was following the Lord like that. You know, most of the time they'd command the whole people to follow the Lord as well. And Asa was one of those kings at the first that did that. You know, he even dethroned his mother who had been queen, you know, because she had an idol with him. I mean, with her in the palace, she booted her out of the place. Now, this was his first acts. Well, the last acts, I mean, at one time he started to despise the word of God, and he began to allow bitterness and wickedness to enter in his heart, and the last state was not very good. But when he sought the Lord, his God, when he prepared his heart actually to seek the Lord, you know, he was blessed. And there were great things that happened in his life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, took away the Sodomites out of the land, we're told, because he sought the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 15 says, you know, when Asa began to reign, he did that in verse 11, that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites, got rid of all this nonsense, you know, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. He also, you know, removed his mother, Maka, from being queen because she had made an idol, you know, and Asa destroyed her idol, burnt it in the brook, you know, and all of that. And he did all these things, and, you know, the Lord was happy. And, you know, they were blessed in the days when they sought the Lord. And it all started by they making this covenant in their heart to seek the Lord, you know. And then the Lord, you know, gave them rest, gave them, you know, some things and some blessings. And they prospered in those days because they made a covenant in their heart, you know, to seek after the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, be it known unto every one of us today, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that this process of seeking the Lord in our heart is not something that the heart or this flesh likes. And it's not something that is going to happen naturally. So you're going to pay a price in the flesh for it, because the carnal man, or the carnal mind, is not subject to the things of God, neither indeed can be. And so we have to be intentional. We make a covenant like these people did, to seek the Lord with all of your heart. There are blessings that the Lord gives for those things. What was it exactly that Ezra did in his days when he said he set his heart, prepared his heart, seek the Lord? Well, what it means is, just like the scripture says, guard your heart. The heart can be open to many things. You know, people, you hear this, you see this, you do that, and so forth. So, you know, intentionally stir your heart away from those things, those negative things, and think on the good things, you know, and the things of the Lord. Just like Philippians 4 and 8 tells us, you know, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good report, you know, whatever things are honest, whatever things are true, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, well, direct your hearts into meditating on those things. Prepare your heart to say, look, I am going to seek the law of the Lord. Now, one way of seeking the law of the Lord and the word of God is what we do here every day, and what you are doing, coming out every day to hear the word of the Lord. But that's a necessary next step as well. One first step is make a determination, you know, within yourself that you're going to do it. The next step is, you know, do it. And when you hear the word of God or any lesson or teaching or preaching, you must check it out as well. Make sure that it's in alignment. You know, because you've decided to seek the law of the Lord, do it. So take heed how you hear. Make sure what you are hearing is indeed the word of the Lord. And the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is true. Now, if you find the word to be true, then cling to it. Hold fast to it. You don't say hold fast to instruction. Don't let her go, because it is thy life. You hold fast to these things. And then as you begin to do it, you begin to share it as well. Both to do and to teach. This teaching thing is a role for all of us. I mean, it may not be have a gift ministry of teaching, but we're all commanded to share the word of God. Jesus said, go you into all the world and teach all nations. So you teach them the fear of the Lord. You teach your children the fear of the Lord. In your house, everybody must be a teacher of sorts. But before you can be a teacher, you must prepare your heart to know the Lord and know his ways, to do it yourself, and then to teach the same. You know, so even in your house, Deuteronomy 11 verse 18 says, therefore lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. It always starts with the heart. And bind them for a sign upon your hand. And put them as frontlets between your eyes. It's like kind of glasses. It's right there. Teach them to your children. So all of us are teachers. Speak of them when thou sittest in the house. You know, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gate. I mean, let it be in your face everywhere. The word of the Lord is right there. Why? that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children, even in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them. And that, so your days, you know, will be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you today to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to cleave unto him, then the Lord thy God shall drive all these nations away from before you. And you shall possess even greater nations mightier than yourselves. And every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, and from the river and the river Euphrates and so forth. Even to the uttermost part of the sea shall be your coast. And there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall be the fear, lay the fear of you upon the, you know, them, and the dread of you shall be upon them. Even as the Lord has said. So, and furthermore, he said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey. So we're right back to obeying. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, that's a blessing. And a curse if you will not obey and you turn aside and do the opposite of the word of the Lord. And so choose this day which one you will be. And those blessings, he laid it out in Deuteronomy 28, the whole chapter laid out blessings and then laid out the curses. If you don't do it, blessings for obedience and the consequences of disobedience are all laid out. Very long list of all the evils of disobedience. As I said yesterday or the other day, three times as long as even the list of blessings, you know. But here is one of the greatest blessings of obedience. At the end of the book, Revelation 22, the Lord was still talking about it. He started out with it, told Adam, do this and don't do that. That was commandment about obedience. That's how he started. And at the end, in Revelation 22, he's still talking about it, you know, all the way to the end. Now, for us to get to that end, well, we have to know, you know, from the beginning, we had prepared our hearts. We prepared our hearts from the beginning to seek the law of the Lord and to do them. Now, if you do, this is the blessing that's given at the end in Revelation 22. Verse 14 says, and this was what Adam lost, you know, lost the right to the tree of life. The Lord drove them out and put seraphims or cherubims there to, you know, with the sword and so forth. Don't come near this place. Now, Revelation 22 and 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. And they may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, some people will not get in there. Outside the city are dogs, he said, and different things. But these people that do his commandments, they have right to the tree of life. Glory to God. Now, symbolic in many ways. Someday we'll talk about that tree of life. But doing his commandments is what gets them there. And what gets them there starts with preparing the heart. You got to prepare your heart. So every day it must be an exercise in preparation. We do that without thinking about it, but I want you to think about it when it comes to walking with God. We do that every day. You get up, you prepare for work, you get your children ready for school, you do this, you do that. I mean, we are doing preparation every day. For something, well, let's be intentional in doing the same thing. Prepare your heart every day, you know, to know the word of the Lord. What is the Lord saying today? Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what his spirit is speaking to the churches. In another place, he said, Who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. You know, so, but it all starts with the heart. You got to, you know, some people sought the Lord. They wanted to hear him, you know. They say, hey, even the people said, you know, the Greeks and everybody, they came, they sought after him, said, you know, because they knew he had something. They wanted, you know, even in the days of Solomon, people knew that he had the word of the Lord with him in a dimension of wisdom. The Queen of Sheba, she came, you know, traveled halfway around the world when Jesus talked about it. He said, look, the Queen of Sheba will rise up against this generation in the judgment because she traveled halfway around the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So she went, she prepared her heart to go see for herself the things that have been, she had heard about this Solomon. Well, she prepared her heart. It was a long journey. Well, we need to make preparation. Prepare your heart daily. Even when you come to this room to hear the word of the Lord that we share every day, you got to prepare your heart. Don't just be here, you know, because this platform is easy to not engage when you are here. Because, I mean, you're not on camera. You can be listening to it. It's just like a drop-in audio, like a podcast. You can just be listening, but you may not actually be engaging. So, you know, there's an advantage to it. It's easy to listen to, but there's a disadvantage that you may not engage. And you got to make preparation in your heart to engage, to get the full benefit of what the Lord is saying. I often quote this scripture, and I'll quote it again. In the book of John, chapter 6, you know, verse 63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Say, but there are some of you that believe not. What does it mean that the flesh profits nothing? Well, it means just being present in the flesh without being present in the spirit, you get nothing. You get no advantage just to be present. So make sure you engage in the spirit. Anytime you're hearing the word of the Lord, here on this platform, other places, your local church, wherever, when you are hearing the word of the Lord, prepare your heart to engage. Take, for instance, you know, on the day that you go to the house of prayer, to fellowship with our believers, maybe it's Sunday, maybe whatever day you guys do it, you make preparation in the morning and so forth. You put on nice clothes, get all dressed, you go. What else are you preparing? You're preparing to look nice, but are you preparing your heart to hear the word of the Lord when you go there? See, that's the thing. And if you are preparing, then you got to be praying about it. Say, Lord, speak to me today. You know, let the word of the Lord come from the mouth of your servant. Let my heart be receptive today. You got to be praying. Most people don't pray anything. You just go there. Most people are not prepared for anything. And they're there. Their mind is not even there. Well, you're not going to get anything out of it. There's not going to be any random encounter with the Lord when you have not made preparation in your heart. You know, so the visitation from the Lord, you know, it comes because we know and we are expecting something, expecting something. That's so important in preparing your heart towards that. So that's the follow-up of our lesson on obedience today. Gaining, you know, and activating the promises of God through perfect obedience. It starts with preparing the heart to seek the law of the Lord, you know, and to do it. To seek it is to know it. You know, you can't know it if you don't seek it. Even as we've often said that even the promises of God will not be a promise to you if you didn't know that it was promised. It's the same thing. If you didn't know what the word of the Lord said, it would not be the word of the Lord to you. But ignorance is not an excuse. Because now, the Bible says, the days of ignorance God winked at, but now I command everybody everywhere, figure it out. You know, there is no ignorance anymore. You know, figure it out. Even Jesus went and preached to all the souls, you know, destroyed in the time of Noah. Some of them were claiming ignorance. Well, he went and preached to them, you know, when he died. Now, we have no reason for ignorance, but be sure, engage your heart. You know, engage your heart, direct your heart into the love of God, the patient waiting for Christ. Direct your heart into the things of God. Direct your heart. And you say, well, I don't know how to do it. Then pray. You know, I said at the beginning that, you know, we're going to pray this prayer and we're going to pray it now. This is the prayer in First Chronicles, you know, chapter 22 that we read, and we're going to pray it now. We must prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, you know. So, he said, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Well, how do we do it? We need help. We always need help to be able to do things like this, because it doesn't come natural to the heart anymore. So we're going to pray today to say, Lord, help me to set my heart, you know, to seek the Lord and the law of the Lord, to seek his ways. The Bible says that the Lord showed Moses his ways and his acts to the children of Israel. That was a difference. The children of Israel only saw the, you know, signs and wonders. They did not set their heart to know his ways. That's why many of them perished. Signs and wonders alone are not enough in this walking with God. You've got to seek the ways of the Lord. Seek his face, seek to know him, and seek to know his word. Seek to know his commandments. You know, seek to do his will. There's a song that says, I pledge allegiance to the Lord. Seek to do his will. Well, do we want to do that? Is our heart set in following the Lord, or our heart set on the things of the world? Set your affection, the Bible says, on things above. Colossians chapter 3. Do not set your heart on the things of the world, even when riches increase. Set not your heart upon them. These things take wings and they fly away. In the meantime, you will have missed the thing of eternal value. You are pursuing those things. Those that will be rich, they will fall into diverse hurts. You know, even a sword will pierce through their hearts at times. You know, but if we will seek the Lord and he love the Lord, well, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. And affection is in the heart. Take hold of the reins of your heart. Bring them, bring your heart into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells, bring in every thought that's in your heart, not somebody else's. We always think of that as though, you know, you are going to bring the thought of the heart of somebody else into obedience. How are you going to do that? It's your own heart. You know, what's going on in your own mind? Casting down imaginations in your own head. You know, anything that is contrary, exalting itself against the knowledge of God in your own mind. You know, and bringing into captivity every thought that's in your own heart to the obedience of Christ. You got to do it. So this is not just, oh, you know, we're trying to subdue somebody else's, you know, mind. How are you going to do that? Subdue your own mind. You know, bring your own mind, you know, bring these things, you know, first your own obedience. You can't reach out and, you know, have this power over anything else. You know, you can't have power to bind nobles and kings with fetters and chains of iron when you cannot bring your own heart into obedience. First, you bring your own heart into obedience. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, because, you know, we are walking in the flesh, but we are not fighting after the flesh. We have power through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, these strongholds are in the mind. You know, casting down imaginations. Why do the people imagine vain things against the Lord and his anointed? There's vain imaginations in the heart of man all the time. You know? And so make sure that these imaginations are not in your heart. Direct your heart into the love of God. Cast down imaginations. And anything that's contrary to the word of God, cast it down. Bring every thought in your head into captivity. Hold every thought captive. Don't let your thoughts wander here and there. Direct your thoughts into the things that Philippians 4 and 8 talks about. And bring it all down to the obedience of Christ. Now, first, your own obedience must be fulfilled in order for you to be able to have dominion over external forces. First, you have dominion over your own mind. Praise God. But who can control that mind? It's kind of like the tongue. You know, who can tame that tongue? James said. Well, Jeremiah said, who can tame that heart? Yes, you know, Jeremiah 17 and 19. That heart, he said, is desperately wicked, just like the tongue. It's a world of evil. It's all in that heart. Who can do it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he can do it. And with his help, you can do it. And you will do it. And we must do it. I must do it. You know, I have got to submit. You know, submit yourselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. This is things that we must do ourselves. Holy Spirit will give us the grace to do it, but he's not going to do it for us. You got to do it for yourself. You can bring those thoughts into captivity. You got to do it. You know, when you have, you know, you have prepared your heart to follow the Lord, those evil birds will try to come down. You got to drive them away. Drive all the evil thoughts away by the power of the Spirit of God. So we're going to pray that the Lord will give us understanding in what it takes to make preparation in our hearts to seek the law of the Lord and then to do it. You know, in order for us to be obedient and have a life of obedience and live a life of obedience, walking in obedience, it's a preparation of the heart. It starts with preparation of the heart. It's got to be intentional in seeking the Lord to help you to do that. So we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to help us in preparing our hearts. In the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue. Well, he says it's from the Lord. Well, you know, better make sure it is from the Lord. Because if you don't bring that flesh under subjection and don't bring that heart under subjection, it will run wild, just like the tongue. The heart also must be tamed. Who can tame it? Holy Spirit can help us. But we must prepare our hearts. We got to make that conscious effort of surrendering our heart. People say, oh, you know, have you given your heart to the Lord? Have you received Jesus into your heart? All these things that we say. It's about making preparation in our heart to receive the Lord, to seek His word, to know what He says, and to seek to do His will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. We pray for understanding. Who is that man that will, who is that man that loves life and will see good all his days? Well, let him prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord his God. That's right. Prepare our hearts, Lord, is what we must do. We pray for grace that you will help us to do the same. The heart of man is deceitful, we are told, and desperately wicked above anything else. Just like the tongue is definitely wicked, can be vitriolic and say evil things. The world of poison, deadly poison, sometimes it's in the heart too. Teach us, Lord, to guard our hearts, because out of it are the issues of life. Help us, O Lord, every day to be intentional in preparing our hearts to know the word of the Lord so that we may do it. Blessed are those that do his commandments, for they shall have life. They shall have the right to the tree of life. Glory to God. Teach us, O Lord, to do your commandments. We want to have access to that tree of life, that it may be well with us even upon the earth, even now. He said, lay these thy words, my words that I speak unto you today in your heart, that it may be well with you and for your children as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us, O Lord, every day that we will engage the word of the Lord in the spirit, and not to just be hearers only and not doers of the same. We ask you, Lord, to give us the grace every day to be intentional in preparing our heart to seek the Lord and to seek to know your will, to seek to know your word, to seek to know your commandments. And what is the Spirit saying in this situation? That we may do that which you are saying. We give you, Lord, the praise, give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.